What's up, bud? It's Rob. This is Apparel Success, and today I have on Dan, my elusive mentor. Dan runs a clothing brand called Indestructible MFG that does over seven figures a year in sales. He's also been a huge help for me structuring Facebook ads for my own clothing brand and getting Facebook ads to work for K-Bud, among many other things. And so super stoked to have Dan on today to really just sort of pick his brain, pull out as much information as possible so to help you run your clothing brand. So Dan, welcome to Apparel Success, man.
What's going on, everybody?
Welcome. If I'm not mistaken, did you like used to watch Apparel Success like before?
So
like, you like tuned into like a couple videos or whatever?
Dude, I watched them all. I still watch them all.
Unreal.
But when I first started my brand, I just wanted to get information from everywhere. So it was like, you know, going on YouTube, like clothing brand, how to run Facebook ads, how to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, your videos popped up, so I watched them, and it was definitely useful information.
Yeah.
So I first started up, and then
mostly on like the psychology too. I like the psychology.
You know, I think I even like Facebook ads. I watched a video you posted years ago, and that was my first Facebook.
It's crazy how it's come like full circle, man. Just took it and just like took off with it. But so I figured like we could just start this out by just sort of having you like tell us about Indestructible and what Indestructible is sort of about and who you sell your clothing and who you make it for.
Cool. So Indestructible started in 2018. Long story short, I was a barber and I met a tattooer. He came into the barber shop for a haircut and we were just, you know, talking, and I was like, hey, what do you do? He's like, oh, I'm a tattooer. I was like, cool, like let's trade haircuts for tattoos. So we ended up being buddies. We, you know, started riding motorcycles together, and I always kind of like thought it'd be cool to do a clothing brand, but I'm not an artist. So
yeah,
I was like, hey, I'm gonna sit down with my buddy Matt and can see if he's into the idea of even just drawing some stuff for an idea. Originally I was gonna do like a barber clothing brand, and I think even the first t-shirt was like very barber related. It's like, I don't know if I have one here, but it was like a dude with like a cool haircut. Yeah. So we were like, yeah, let's do this for fun, whatever. Printed t-shirts. I think we printed 50 t-shirts, and within a week they're all sold. And we were like, I don't even think we had a website at this time. We were just like word of mouth.
Wow. So how are you selling? Like, how did those sell? Was it online?
We had an Instagram page. And maybe we just started a website, but a lot of it was just like either come to the barbershop or go to the tattoo shop and you can pick it up. And right then on. I think it was 50 sold and we're like, okay, let's just print 50 more, I guess. Yeah. And then I think at that point we made a website and started dipping our toes in it. We say like our saying is like Indestructible creates bold pieces rooted in tradition. So tradition being like the traditional tattoos, but it's like inspired by tattoos and outsider culture, which is, you know, the guys on motorcycles, the guys who have the tattoos, you know.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Kind of our target.
Okay. And so you were saying you made those 50 shirts and then like the first couple of months, how long did it take before you could leave your job as like a barber?
It took a while. We can jump straight over to that if you want. So essentially,
sure, you can even fill in the gaps there too.
Yeah. So we're like 2018, we did those 50 t-shirts and started getting the ball rolling. We did a bunch of like pop-ups, started getting the website kind of going and started doing actual, you know, drops. So we did like a spring drop in 2019 and then a summer drop, a fall drop. At the end of 2020, we all know COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being a barber, there's no way I could work during COVID. My business partner being a tattoo, that those aren't jobs. You know, once lockdown hit, we were out of work and we got paid per service, right? We had Indestructible and we were like, why don't we just like pretend this is our day job every single day, or, you know, Monday to Friday, let's go to our little office we had in the basement of a barber shop and just focus on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really like, you know, what else are we going to do? It's COVID.
Yeah.
Just sit in the basement, do designs, figure it out. And I think by May, we started really like scaling up the Facebook ads and stuff like that. And we were like, it grew like overnight.
Yeah. Eh?
It was crazy how it just like really dialed in Facebook ads, really dialed in what we, you know, we started doing weekly drops and stuff like that. So it just like, I think, yeah, May was our biggest month. And then the next month was even bigger. And then the next month was even bigger. And we were like, oh damn, like, is this
I have a couple of
normal?
like questions around that. So like, would you attribute like that massive growth like to Facebook ads?
I wouldn't give
Mostly.
Facebook ads all the credit. I'll definitely say it got us out there, but I'll tell everyone this, like, if you're a clothing brand and you think you can just run Facebook ads and be successful, you have to have all these pieces. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? You have to have a good landing page. You have to have a good product. You have to, you know, all these things, but definitely getting our name out there, Facebook, because this was pre iOS 14 when all the tracking and all that stuff was.
Yeah.
So we like, Facebook definitely has a big chunk of
For
credit
reach,
for
at
that, but
least.
it's
Like for
free.
reach. Yeah. But then it doesn't matter if you're getting in front of like a million people every day if the page that you're driving them to sucks and like it's
For
not going to
sure.
convert people, you know?
For sure.
So
And
that's.
this is something like I look back at, you know, watching your videos, like I can't remember, you said something about like people aren't gonna buy it unless other people are buying it. You know what I mean? So that's social proof, we really had to get that going, you know what I mean? Like no one was gonna buy a brand that had whatever, not many followers, no one's ever bought it before. So
Yeah, it's,
that was
yeah,
one of the
builds
things we really
credibility.
like made sure the pieces were in place for making sure if people go to our Instagram, it looks like people have bought our stuff before.
For sure. And yeah, like I always talk about on Apparel Success is like the perfect storm because it isn't just like marketing. And I think most of the people that are just starting out, they're like almost 100% just focusing on like getting their brand out there and they think that everything's just gonna work if they can get in front of people, but that's like a small chunk of the whole battle to actually excel
For
in.
sure. You had to have
When
all those pieces together.
it comes to marketing strategies that you're putting in place right now, like Facebook ads, Google ads, TikTok ads, of all of those, what would you say is like working best right now in terms of like driving conversions on your site?
I mean, Facebook is still, it still takes the highest ad spend. And though, you know, we've been running those consistently since, 2018, 19 kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we've always been dumping money into Facebook ads. Now with, you know, I just got a new some new software that makes it a lot easier to track those things. And I feel like I like just so like just last week I got this system and now I'm like it feels like I'm starting again or like I have these new eyes to like see where to go and where to take it. So it's kind of exciting for me to be like, you know, just the beginning of the Facebook
Yeah.
ads and scaling from there.
Yeah. Gives you a whole other like sort of way to think about things and move
Sure.
forward.
And I think, you know, my side of this of the brand is I don't know, I've found my passion of like looking at numbers and that's kind of like I get excited looking at like analytics and stuff. It's
We're completely opposite.
which is crazy because I
Yeah.
didn't go to school, I couldn't do math, like and
Yeah.
now part of my job is looking at numbers and
Yeah. I
where
mean that
my business partner, he's an artist, so he has doesn't really have much to do with the back end stuff. He's drawing stuff all day kind of thing, right? So
Yeah.
so it's interesting.
How would you sort of compare paid advertising right now to like trying to go viral or organic like on TikTok or organic on like Instagram?
I mean, Reels and TikToks are where it's at, and if you can get a video to go viral, then it's just like you get those people to hit your store and then you hit them back with retargeting
Yeah.
after, you know, get your Facebook retargeting going, like get them to sign up to your email list, all that kind of stuff. So I'm definitely using those strategies right now, like trying to post on TikTok and Instagram Reels every day. Like I just posted a video of like these new towels that we had made as a drop, and it's like got a pretty decent amount of views compared to other stuff we drop.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and it's finding those things that actually do well on TikTok or Reels and recreating that to get that organic reach because it's, you know, it's free, right? So if you can get them to go to your website and then hit them up later with emails, which are cheaper to get people, or retargeting. I think that's like nowadays, if you're not on TikTok right now as a clothing brand, it's like,
what are you doing?
That gap is closing, because it's like, it's going to change in 12 months from now. You're not going to get that same reach.
Yeah, man. I sent it to you. Like, I texted it to you after when it went kind of viral, but I posted that video on K-Bud's TikTok that was like, representing rural Canada, which hoodie do you want? And then I posted hoodies, sold like $8,000 worth of hoodies just from that organic. Like, the whole day was just hoodies, like, selling like crazy. And like, I didn't spend a cent on it. And then I was like, I tried to recreate it a couple times, and it was like, sometimes things just go, and then you try and recreate it, and like,
for sure,
you just have to keep it fresh and always be thinking about sort of what's going to get people to watch this through, and how can you connect and sell at the same time. Like, it's like,
yeah, it's
super tricky.
And TikTok is it's a different type of content. Like, something that works on TikTok might not necessarily work on Instagram, right? So for me, at least, it took me a while to actually like research the type of content that works for either for ads or for organic kind of posts, right? Because TikTok's a different game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Do you have any like posts on TikTok that have done like really well? I think I saw on your TikTok that you had like one about like your patches that.
Yeah. So that was one of our better ones for sure. And it was just super simple. Like, just me being like, I can't remember. It was like, hey, we're going to show you some of our patches. And I just named the patch as they were on the screen, and that seemed to do pretty well.
Yeah.
And then I tried to recreate that after, and maybe it didn't hit as well. Yeah. So it's like just testing different ways. You got to keep testing.
Okay. Let's switch over to talking a bit about like your products and stuff. Like, when you're selling, do you ever release a product that's a complete flop?
Oh, 100%, dude.
Yeah. Eh?
How
often would you say? Like, I always talk about the Pareto principle, which is like 20% of your like products will bring in like 80% of your like revenue. Yeah. And it's similar with my YouTube channel, where like 20% of the videos bring in like 80% of the views.
Yeah.
So like, you literally can't, especially with a clothing line where you have such a like wide range of products, it's hard to like hit on every single one, you know? So how does that work with you?
It's like, so like I said, we drop something every week, and over the summer, we've actually been doing a Monday drop and a Thursday drop. But there was a drop we just recently did. It was like, it had like a skull. It was just like a basic skull on a t-shirt. And we made some mesh shorts, and me and one of the girls that works for us were just like, I don't know if this is going to do well. Like, and there's a lot. We had like tank tops. It was on a hat. Like, we really used that design in a bunch, and it actually hit really good. Like, we were like, on the drop day, we were like surprised. Like, I didn't think that was going to do well.
Yeah.
And then there's things like we made slides with like a rose on them, and we're like, these are going to crush.
Yeah.
And they didn't crush as much as we thought they were going to do. So.
And what do you do with those? Like, what do you do with the products that like aren't crushing? Do you just sort of discount them and just learn?
Eventually we might. Like, those are going to go on, you know, they're slides, so they're going to go on the end of summer sale. We're looking at, even just holding them. Like, we have a bunch of stuff like hoodies and stuff that aren't even on the website right now, because for us, hoodie sales dropped. So like, we don't want to put it on sale. Let's just turn it off for now and relaunch it in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And see how it does. But yeah, for us, there's like, it'll sell eventually, especially if it's marked down. But we also didn't want to look like half of our clothing was on sale. So online presence. So we do pop-ups still. So, you know, some stuff we just bring it to the pop-up and have like a $10 bin, a $20 bin, and people can pick it up that way. Just so it keeps the website looking, you know, more premium. There aren't a whole lot of sale items on there.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you don't want to train your customers thinking, oh yeah, it's like every whatever, they're just going to put this on sale. You
know, yeah.
You have to wait for the sale. So it's like,
man, I just got a YouTube comment that I thought I would like bring up in here and just kind of like hear what you'd say about it. And maybe we can both like answer it together. But some guy just wrote, just had a super high quality hoodie made, but no matter what I try, I can't sell it. So like I get comments like this all the time, right? It's like, I'm down money with a lot of inventory. So like, what do you suggest? And in my mind, like when I read a comment like that, no offense to whoever wrote this comment, I'm like, it's not like as simple as like one answer. Like you'd have to literally go into the brand and like dissect everything and like break apart everything that they're doing to make sure that like, you know.
Yeah. It's like, what does the design look like? What does your Instagram look like?
What's your landing page?
For sure.
Like your website.
Yeah. That's a tricky one. It's how you marketing it. Are you, does it just say premium quality? Cause everyone says that. Right. So it's like, I don't know. For us, we've actually cut down our inventory numbers when we place orders, just to be a little more careful with testing things. Cause we burn like we were just talking about ordering too much and stuff like that. If it doesn't hit. So now when we order something, we almost give it a test season first. Like we did mesh shorts and just to see what color, like we did multiple colors and stuff like that. And you got to
test. I say that on the channel all the time too. I'm like, if you're just starting up a brand, like don't overinvest in inventory. It's the worst thing you could do because you have no idea like what's going to land, if people are even like interested in this, and like you may invest in like 400 shirts of something that just like sucks and it's not selling.
And then you've got all this money just sitting there too, that could be used to invest in other inventory, other things in your brand. Like,
like that's the most common thing that I see on the YouTube channel is people who have been at this for a while and they're struggling to make sales and their whole focus is like, how do I market this thing? I can't market this thing. And what advice would you have for somebody who's just starting out, who's just struggling with all of this? Like where do they go? What do they do? What do they focus on?
I think you've said this before, like who are you marketing to? You know, find your niche and send stuff out to influencers, get that name out there. Like, I don't know. It's definitely I think we did get very lucky with, having connections and in the tattoo world and stuff like that. I wouldn't even know how to market certain things that I don't know as much about. So it's really finding those people that you're going to, your target audience. Sell it to them and why do they want to buy it? Like,
yeah.
What problem are you solving? Like why should they buy this versus that?
So, I also think it's just important for like so many brands that start up that don't get lucky or that don't nail it like right off the bat. Like it's all right to like struggle like for a while, like, or make big changes, like change it up, man. Like if things aren't working, like you can switch your concept around and you can change your style and change your design stuff,
Yeah, definitely. Just testing is huge. Like we even do tests on, we did a test recently that like, are people going to buy if our image is, like on our landing page, if the product image has a model in it versus a static image of just the product, what's going to sell more? And we actually, there's like a Shopify app we use for that. And what it does is it switches the images back and forth.
And what have you found sells more?
It was the static image of just the product.
Really, eh?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I found in Facebook ads too, is like I used to put out these pictures of people modeling it. And then I know you did this with hats too. Like you have that one ad that I love of like the hats on the staircase.
Yeah.
And I kind of like was like, all right, I'll just fold up a hoodie and like put it on a wood table. And like those, that like creative just like did super well.
For sure. And you also got to think like people are scrolling through Instagram and most of the time you see people, right? If you're scrolling and then they just see a hoodie or even just a hoodie with a white background, they're going to be like, oh, this looks a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to for that kind of stuff, you don't want to almost be posting exactly what your feed looks like. You want something
just
on there.
Blends in.
It's going to look slightly different to your typical feed. What I mean? So people are like, oh, cool hoodie. Like they just see the hoodie and then they go over to the landing page and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Well, I think that'll help a lot of people out. And like, I don't know if everybody else knows this who's watching, but like Dan also runs another company that does the fulfillment for KBud. And I don't know if, do you mind if I drop the name?
For sure. Go for it.
So it's called Lickety Split Fulfillment. And he's the, Dan's the guy who got all of my inventory off my hands and freed up all my time to be working on this. And he handles it all in Toronto. So if there's other brands out there that, you know, are interested in doing that, I don't know if you want to plug yourself or people.
Yeah. So we're moving into a new warehouse in August. Right now we're full. We're completely me and my business partner, our production manager, we all kind of had this room, our office, and then we had a packing room, and in the basement was all of our inventory. We just had no room, so we had to all move out and work from home, and then let Brad, who he runs LS Fulfillment, basically put boxes all through that. He just has this little desk set up, and then just he's surrounded by the boxes that you've seen on your channel.
Of him
picking. So we're pretty excited to get moving, and we're definitely looking to take on new clients. One of the first hires we made as a company was getting someone to pack orders for us, because, you know, spending your whole day packing orders, sure, you got to do that at the beginning. There's no, you know, if you're only getting 10 orders or whatever a day, you should be able to handle that. But if you're getting a decent stack of orders, you really need to be letting someone do that mundane task, and you focus on how you grow the brand, because it takes you know how long it takes to pack orders.
It basically sticks you in place, because all you're doing is you're not wasting your time. You're spending your time packing orders. And if that's all you're spending your time doing, there's no time going into actually growing it beyond what it is. And so it'll just keep looping like that.
Yeah. So one of the things I really like doing is building out, you know, how we do things. So once we got this, once I hired someone to fill our orders, I basically built out what that looks like. I got software to pick the orders for them, a shipping system.
Guys have that so dialed in, man.
It took a while to really figure out what works and what doesn't, and how to optimize picking time and making sure what gets sent out is correct. So everything we do is barcoded.
Yeah.
Because we had orders going out, because me and my partner were just trying to get orders out as fast as we can, and we get an email 2 weeks later hey, I got the wrong size. We're first thing I wanted to do was how do we make sure that doesn't happen?
Yeah.
The back and forth between the customer, you got to go send them a new thing. You're you know, paying for shipping again, you're paying for all this stuff. How much are we losing? And so that was one of the first things I really optimized, was we got to scan everything in. So that's what it is. There's no mistakes. So yeah. I basically built out that side of the company, and basically let my warehouse manager, I have nothing to do with it anymore.
Yeah.
He basically, you know, he runs.
You're talking about Brad?
Yeah.
So Brad's at the gym, man.
Yeah.
So I guess your warehouse is full right now. You're looking for a new one? Or you already have one?
We're moving in August.
Okay. So for now, you're a bit full, but come August,
there'll be more. You know, we can take people on in August.
Mm-hmm. Would you be wanting to do only Canadian brands, or would you take on US and stuff too?
I mean, we can take on US as long as, you know, we can get the product to us. Being in Canada, we actually do have benefits of, you know, a lot of American brands have issues coming into shipping to Canada.
Yeah.
Shipping prices to Canada are ridiculous.
Yeah.
For us, we have a system where all of our packages are driven over the border and get put into the USPS mail stream. But then we also get really good Canadian rates. So we kind of have the best of both worlds. Whereas American brands don't have that same system. The market's not as big in Canada, so there aren't companies out there being hey, let's drive all these packages to Canada and get those going. It's just no.
Yeah, they don't care.
They're going to take forever, but we definitely have the best of both worlds. So if there's American brands out there that want to tap into the Canadian market, but also want to, you know, have good shipping rates to the States, it's kind of best of both worlds, I would say.
Right on. And so where can people find you if they want to get in touch about that?
Well, I think I don't even remember what the website's called. We're in the middle.
Where do you want to send people?
I think it's Lickety. Let me
Lickety,
just hold the
hold the phone. All right.
I can definitely give you the link. Yeah, it's lsfulfillment.com, but we're gonna have like a whole new website in July and all that stuff. So yeah, you can head to lsfulfillment.com and, you know, shoot us an email through the contact form there.
Yeah. So you found out about it through Apparel Success and
exactly
off to the races.
Yeah.
And you also do Facebook advertising. I don't know a single person better than Dan at running Facebook ads.
Like, thank you.
Genuinely, like, I mean that.
Yeah, so. It's a lot of research. Like, I still to this day do research on the changes and, you know, watching how other people run them. And I've kind of put together my own kind of way of running ads, watching different people run ads.
So are people able to reach out about that as well?
Yes.
Maybe there's an email or something.
What is that email? Again, I haven't been doing much, right? So it's so the email for my ad agency is info@thetrustyremedy.com.
The Trusty Remedy?
Trustyremedy.com. Yeah.
Okay,
so
cool.
My ad agency is called Trusty Remedy. And I'm looking to kind of start that up again. Now that I have a little more time on my hands and stuff like that. So
dope, man. Well, I think everybody watching probably got a lot of value out of this, man. And I think really appreciate you for coming on.
Of course. Yeah.
Sick. I'll have to have you on again too.
Let's go. You got to come in. You got to come and tour the warehouse once.
Yeah, I do.
Set up and once you're back.
I think I'm coming back to Toronto in August, so maybe then.
Yeah, well, I mean, we move in 1st of August, so we're going to be running that week. So
come check it out. Sounds good, man. Well, thanks for watching, everybody, and we'll see you around.
Thanks for having me.